podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
It's the overview show. It's back. It's better. This is an overview show, I think. I've particularly been looking forward to since that final whistle went at Anfield on Sunday and we were celebrating a 9-point lead over City. Let's just look ahead to the fixtures coming up then. I'm going to read them out first and then come to you for your thoughts first.
Yeah.
We start after the international break away at Palace, midweek at Napoli in the Champions League, Brighton, Joel's referenced, Everton as a midweek league game, Bournemouth away, Salzburg away, then Watford at home is our last game before this mad little run, which includes Villa away in the League Cup and the two World Club games. Should we start with the league games, Damien? And what's your thoughts on those five?
All extremely winnable.
Yes.
No fear. Don't overthink it. I'm not going to underestimate anybody. Anything can happen in a derby. We were a double crossbar assist from drawing with them in the last game, and it wouldn't have been an unfair result. Every point is precious to us. And they're not asked. They're going to finish somewhere in the middle of the table and it doesn't matter. So they'll throw all their efforts. But if we approach these games in the same manner we've approached all the others, there's nothing in there that should frighten us. And you shouldn't overthink these things. Just get on with it. But the priority is the league and the World Club Championship for me. And I think we can do both.
Liverpool play Palace first. Yeah. Joel, we were talking off air just before the show about how important you felt Napoli was. And in the sense that it's the chance to make Salzburg a dead rubber, and that would give a serious week's rest, wouldn't it, if that happened?
I think for Palace away, I mean, obviously I don't want Robertson and Salah to be doubting potentially missing them, but if they are going to miss a game in this run, miss the first one, you know, for them big games that are coming up, you know, because you can at least put Milner at left back and obviously Origi in for Salah, which, all right, it's not perfect, but at the same breath, our record of Palace the last few years is quite good.
They're not a good team and we're a very good team, and that's why I'd go full strength there and just get that out of the way. If we win these next five league games with the games that Man City have got coming up, that could win us the league in that 15 points, couldn't it, before we go to Qatar, and then we've got a mid-season break while they're pulling the plums out back at home playing in
Leicester,
the League Cup.
They play Leicester
and they play Leicester, they'd be thinking, fucking hell, they're over there on the Pina Coladas and we're fucking slogging our guts out. It's all about breaking their spirit, and if we get 15 points out of these next five games, that's massive.
Should we talk about Man City?
Yeah,
let's talk about Man City. They come back from the international break, they got Chelsea at home, they then play Shakhtar in the Champions League, then they've got Newcastle away midweek when we're playing Everton, they got Burnley away at home, United at the weekend, Zagreb away, Arsenal away in the league, they've got their routine easy draw in the League Cup away at Oxford, and then when we're in Qatar they've got Leicester at home, as Kev has just said. They've got to pick themselves up, if that's the word, with Chelsea at home. It's not straightforward, this, for them.
I actually think they're going to drop points against Chelsea. I think it's going to be a draw. With City, you know, they may be playing Arsenal when they might have a new manager in charge. That might help them, or it might go against them. I think you're right. I think they'll walk over Man United. And Burnley, yeah, you know, they're not what they were in terms of intimidating teams at Turf Moor. So I think they will pretty much win every other game, but I think the first game in that run, Chelsea, that's the one where I'm really thinking, yeah.
I hope you're right.
I think the thing with City as well at the moment, if we're doing context, is the squad. So I'm like looking at the games and they've got three competitions there. They've got the Champions League, the League, and even the League Cup. Okay, they've got the international break. But I think you're looking at City's squad stretching over those games, and they can't actually field two different 11s at the moment, or that I'd say anyway. Leicester for me is the one. I think Chelsea, decent. I think they'll have a go. They might run them a bit, but I still think they'll win. Who knows, Steve Bruce might do us a favour as well. I mean, he didn't win there last year, but I just think Newcastle at the moment are in this run. They've got a bit of confidence about them. I don't know.
So let's do some predictions then, starting with you, Ian. Well, we all think Liverpool can win all their games, and we're all hoping Liverpool win all their games. What do you honestly think City are going to take from this six?
You know, I'll be bold. I'll say they'll drop points against Chelsea and Leicester.
I think we can certainly match Man City's total over this run, and then they play an extra game, they might win that. The scenario then would be if we just keep winning those league games and just focusing on that, then the worst case scenario is we go away to win the Championship of the World, and come back, what is it, 6 points clear with a game in hand. Mm. I like the sound of that.
By the time Liverpool go to Qatar, I feel Liverpool should and want to have extended this lead to 11 points and to virtually put City to bed, and then talk about, well, fuck knows what they do against Leicester is a bonus for us.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement there. I wouldn't say expect to be 11 points clear by the time we go out to the Club World Cup, but
given the fixtures,
given the fixtures, I think there's a bit of a we need to win all five. Like you're saying, Damien, just got to get over that next fence. Get over the next fence. For me, I think City, being optimistic, win four and draw two.
Kev, what do you
say? Yeah, on City, I'd say similar. I think they'll drop points in two games. Possibly even get beat in one of them. I think Liverpool, I want 15 points, but I'd be more than happy with 13, because I think 13 still extends our lead over Man City by the time we go to Qatar.
Full agreement with Kev of looking on paper, you'd say it's realistic looking at the teams compared to ours, 15, but I would absolutely right now think if it was 13, we're still extending our lead. So I'd be fine with that. I think maybe I'm a little bit more about City, I don't know, I think there's one game they drop points and I do think it might be Leicester. The only other one, for some reason in my head, I'm looking at Newcastle away, 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday. I don't know why, I just think games like that can be a bit sticky.
I think Liverpool might drop in one game and I think City will drop in at least two, and that would make it 11. If they drop in two or three, then this league, I know people go, is it done at 9? It'll be done at 13 points and no mistake. Let's see what happens.
Hello, it is the post-match show after Liverpool win at Crystal Palace 2-1. They can't keep doing that, can they? Or can they?
I don't know. Do you know what? Well, if they can, it'll be the greatest league win of all time and everyone will fucking hate us by the end, won't they? Not that they don't already hate us, but it's mad that we keep doing it. We talk about being like a boss team loads, but I think there's a massive argument that we're just a big alehouse team as well. Like, we just love set pieces. We love spawny goals.
Yeah.
Like that one, that winner, when you watch it back, it's ridiculous. Like when they score, and I'm like, our defence is shit there. Their defence is literally, like, if you're watching, they all think of like, oh, schoolboy defending. If you saw schoolboys doing that, you'd be like, come on, lads.
I mean, one of you
just cleared it.
One of them managed to fall into the ball that was on the floor, which I was into. I feel like three of them kicked it against each other. But even then, like, we should score earlier than we do. And it is, you look at that winning goal, and it is right when Kobe calls us a bit alehouse, because I remember playing like Sunday League footy and all that and coming off the pitch and going, how do we get beat by them? And there must be a little bit of that with playing Liverpool at the moment.
Definitely. I think it was a game that was light on real clear cut chances. I think the definitive of scruffy, basically. There are scruffy people walking around Liverpool going, that's not scruffy. Yeah. They were the scruffiest goals I think I've ever seen. But I think Liverpool appear to have just found this way of mentally not being phased at all. Everyone was saying, we look a bit crap, we look a bit shapeless, we don't really look that creative. And what you've got to can't underestimate in this Liverpool team is their ability to get in at half-time, for the analysts to throw a vulnerability up on the screen, and then for us to score within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it played out, actually.
And they get that goal, though, Dean. I think it's a big time to score as well, Paul, because they're probably going into half-time feeling hard done by. You know, they'll be in there at half-time going, oh, are we not up in this? What's going on there? Blah, blah, blah. And so to come out and Liverpool score straight away, it's, you know, it's almost a perfect response from a Liverpool point of view.
Yeah, definitely. And I think those types of goals do add to what we're building around us now. The old Man United thing, that I know people get annoyed because I mean I bang on about United all the time, but it's probably because we were so traumatised growing up by them.
Yeah, and stuff like
and,
that.
Yeah, and it was like
the inevitability and stuff like that.
Always,
as well.
I remember people saying to me, like, someone would give me a nudge and go, "Oh, United are getting beat, you know," or and I'd be like, "So." They'll win. There's only 5 minutes left. I'm like, I know, but they'll win, so just leave me alone. And that's what would happen. And you can see in opposition teams and stuff, exactly what you said before, Gibbo, that you can imagine them as we score going, these are spawny bastards.
Yeah.
Like, they're shite. Like, everyone tells us they're top of the league and they're brilliant, but they're crap.
Yeah.
Like, we should be winning. And now we're getting beat. And even that just gets in their heads even more, and you can imagine it pissing them off.
As a Liverpool fan base, I'm pleased that we are we're wearing this title challenge in the right way. I think I'm a person who still has got the anxiety of 30 failed title challenges. I do think the sky is always going to fall in at some point, and so I think there's very few people who's like saying it's done, it's a certainty, because nothing's done, nothing's a certainty. But I think we're all keeping our heads and the team's doing the business and they're digging us out the shit every single week. And you'd like to think we'll get to a point where it won't be digging us out the shit and last minute winners and last 10 minute winners, whatever it be. It'll be a little bit more calm, sane and rational. But I think right now, I think to be where we are, at the time of recording this podcast, I would like to say we are 11 points clear of Manchester City and they've got to go and play Chelsea this afternoon. Yeah. I think in spite of a bit of anxiety today, and it was a bit ragged and it was a bit tough, anyone who thought Crystal Palace away wasn't going to be a bit like that's a bit mad anyway, because I think even though we've
always been one to get through, especially coming after an international break, all that,
our record is better than people think, but the contest is often tighter than people remember, I think. I think they should be really, really proud of where we are. Get people rested and not on to Wednesday.
I think the rest of the world is desperate for Liverpool fans to get carried away with themselves. Yeah. They're desperate for us to be saying, this is our league.
Booking parades.
Yeah, keep asking us that question. Of all the fans in all the world, we're the ones who are not going to get carried away. Until I can imagine us being given it on the last game of the season and going,
are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure this is a 39th game?
I've got this mad like nightmare that we'll win the league and then they'll end up scrapping the entire system because VAR was a farce. Yeah. I don't know, we're just not going to count that.
Thermonuclear war. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Hiya, it's the Team Talk. I'm Josh Sexton, and Jurgen Klopp has just held his pre-Everton press conference. There was a few things to get stuck into. You look at the Merseyside derby last year and you could say in some ways that Liverpool were lucky. They sort of weren't at their best. Everton did quite well to stop them, and then you'd maybe say that conversely Everton were unlucky because of the way they conceded the goal and things like that. But if you actually look back at that game, Liverpool probably do deserve to win it, I think. But Everton have got that blueprint now of how they stop Liverpool. It's just whether Marco Silva has got the players inside enough to actually execute that.
I don't think it'll be an easy game at all. I don't think it'll be a hammering. I think that's a really difficult thing to do against this Everton side and how it's going to set up. I think you're going to see an Everton who are going to show loads and loads of bottle. They're going to make it really, really difficult for Liverpool. I think if Liverpool start fast and get 2-0 up, they'll take that Everton for the long period. You know, if Liverpool go 2-0 up quick, Everton will be more than happy for it to still be 2-0 on 75 and think, right, can we launch a last assault on the Liverpool goal? And that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting it to be, even if Liverpool end up with a semi-comfortable scoreline, I think there's no planet where we come out of the game not having had to work with our lives for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Lizzie, I've sort of been wondering about that, about what version of Everton is going to turn up, and I do think it's going to be one which almost turns up in that cliched derby sense that, you know, the form goes out the window going into this, and you know, that you'd assume that's probably what Marco Silva is telling these lads before the game. He'll be telling them they played well at Leicester for quite a long period of the game, and he'll probably show them last season's game and say you played well for most of that as well, and you almost need to go again.
Yeah, well, they've done it twice now, haven't they? The Goodison game was really difficult, and I know Goodison's a whole different kettle of fish to Anfield, but they're gonna come. They're not gonna try and play us at our own game. I think it's just gonna be, like Neil said, it's gonna be really tough. I think it'll be a bit of a snide scoreline. I don't think it's about Liverpool putting away the chances. I think it's because I don't think there's gonna be loads of clear cut ones. I think so when they do come, they really need they have to take them, because I don't think it'll be a game where we'll batter them. I really don't. I do think it will be a tough game.
Go on then, what's your prediction of your snide scoreline?
I don't know if I can see them scoring. That's what I'm thinking. So I don't know whether it's just like a 1-0, you know.
Mo?
I am going to say 2-1. I think there's enough variables in there for a decision to go against us to help them get a goal. But I also do think that on the day they've got some players who can cause us problems.
Nearly going for Michael Keane banging in a quick free kick from 30 yards on out on 75.
I'm going for 3-0. That's not to say for a second I think Everton can get something. I really genuinely do. If you ask me to put me chips somewhere, Liverpool 3-0, but 3-0 will flatter us. People will say 3-0 will flatter us, but it'll be the way the game plays out.
This is your post-match show, Liverpool 5, Everton 2. I'm Ben Johnson. I have never seen an act of disrespect towards Everton Football Club like it. Both the selection and the fact that Liverpool decide their way home is to play long balls over the top for fast lads to run onto. That was all it was. How are we going to win this game today, Gaffer? Well, let me talk you through it. It's a complicated plan. It's long balls over the top, and the fast lads, they're going to run onto it and score.
It was dead funny, wasn't it? You're not going to get a funnier game of footy than that. They turned up thinking, right, these are going to do all what they always do to play against the proper side. No, lads, what you don't realise is use your dog shit. So what was it going to do? It's just thinking over your head. Merry Christmas, Everton.
that is falling all around us. Cup by singing, having fun. It's the season, love and understanding. Merry Christmas, Everton.
It's our arse, lad, because not only have we ruined 44 of them, but Christmas now, they go shopping with the birds. That comes on. They're like, for fuck's sake, get out, get your bikes, get out, not staying here.
By the time as well, because Shakey's one of the best ones.
Shakey's one of the best. Adam said before, we should have a song to Happy Bertie.
It was an act of gross disrespect. And we'll change all these forwards, apart from Manny, because we never change him.
No.
But also what we'll do is, we're going to kick it over your defenders, and then we're going to run along.
Over your five defenders.
Jacko, that right back, lads.
Oh my!
He's not going to play 40 ever again.
He was telling me he got dragged, didn't he? And rightly so. But as you say, there was nothing complicated. From our angle, we do some cracking runs, but it was very, very basic, wasn't it? It was just float the ball over and you'll get in. And the ease we were doing it was scary. And then also you've got to say some of the touch Divock takes. But his second is quality to kill it.
Yeah.
But it was very, very simple, wasn't it?
And then he kicks it over that little lad with the small arms into the back of the net.
Never getting that, was he? Never getting that. But the only thing I'm a little bit concerned about, it could have been about 10. It could have been about 10. And imagine that. I mean, they're already having a bad time tonight. But imagine we could have just maybe made it 8-2 or something like that.
That's our last old tackle.
I know.
You look at the side when it comes out and you think, the fuck are we doing here? You know, you look and you think, all right, that's fine. I trust them, but I'm not sure what our plan is. Then the game kicks off. The fullback, feel fucking sorry for him because we picked on him. It was our lads, it wasn't fair. That was one management team absolutely undressing the other management team. It was the ultimate disrespect, but it was almost the ultimate show of strength. Look how much better I am at my job. You, my mate, you got pissed off at me running on the pitch last year, yeah? You were made up with 0-0 at your gaff, yeah? Watch this then, you fucking tramp. Now fuck off home. They'll fuck them off probably tomorrow. And they're probably right too. But, I mean, you can't take any away from what Liverpool have done. Adam Lallana was tremendous. Shaqiri's tremendous. Origi's tremendous. You ask anyone when the team drops, what do you think of the side? You think, fucking hell, Klopp's gone berserk. And he hasn't. He's just one of the greatest managers who ever lived, who's ever fucking been involved in footy. He's seen them for what they are. He's come up with a fucking plan, and it's worked to perfection. This Liverpool side did the best of our lives.
Today, I think, was massive. And I reckon they thought to themselves, City, Liverpool have got Everton tomorrow. You never know. Today, Liverpool have gone, no. You can do all you want to get only 8 points behind. We'll put the pressure right back on. We'll go 11 ahead. And it is massive in that context. We can laugh at Everton, John, but ultimately we're praising the league leaders who were 11 points ahead of the last season side that got 98 points.
Yeah, I mean, you just keep winning football games and you just keep winning and winning and winning. And you forget because you concentrate on the last game and you think about the next game. And then you look at the league table and you're like, fucking hell, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And like, not just by the Liverpool team, but by anyone. This is the greatest things you've ever seen in English football history stuff, what this team are doing. On the back of what they did last year, which is getting 97 points to win the European Cup. On the back of that, they're now doing this. And it's fucking unreal. And it's unprecedented. And it's writing history books about it. And it's unreal.
Liverpool play 15, won 14,
drawn
1. Liverpool play 15, won 14, drawn 1. Honestly, what a football team, what a time to be alive. If you're not enjoying this, you're doing everything wrong. This is the best it gets, this is the best it'll ever be. And there is no reason to think Liverpool are going to stop anytime soon. One more time. Played 15, won 14, drawn 1, Liverpool 5, Everton 2. It is the pink as the post-match show with the Anfield wrap. Neil Atkinson, Uber Butler, Adam Smith and Kev Walsh. And Kev, my word, That was an absolute dog of a game of football.
Absolute pile of Christmas shite, that one. It made me, we must have been naughty boys this year because we did not get a cracker in that Santa sack. Load of shit.
But the top, they scored two goals. They have a third one that's just ruled out. Watford, on the other hand, they shouldn't be finishing bottom. That's one of the best performances I've seen from an away side at Anfield for some time.
But speaking of finishing, boy, they need to work on that, don't they? Fucking hell.
Those miskicks were hysterical.
I've never seen anything like it. That one after we've gone 1-0 up, where it goes right to the back post and yeah. The kid just absolutely slices the leg out of it. We got lucky today. That was probably our Christmas present, because genuinely, like, they took us apart there. I wouldn't mind seeing the XC stats. They probably got better performance in that than we did. But it's just the fact that we've got top-class finishes and there's an absolute dogs, apparently.
They were aggressive from minute one, disrupted Liverpool. You'd also add in there, I think the wind is a massive factor in the game. The manager will mention it in his post-match, and no one should be annoyed, because it was really windy and it was really cold and it was no barrel of laughs.
Yeah, I thought the thing is, though, with that if Man City play that game, I did think, yeah, we were shit. The whole time I thought, oh, God, we were shit. That if Man City play that game, there is no chance they win it.
Yeah.
There is no chance that Man City get away with playing that badly and not and winning that game. But that's the Jurgen Klopp Liverpool. It's like Pep Guardiola couldn't have pulled that out of his ass.
And that's a really good point. And I think I think all the way through the game, you see the resilience. You see them get through 5-minute patches. You see, for instance, them work out the conditions first half, work out how to use them to their advantage, Adam, and work out how to turn Watford around and terrify them without ever playing particularly good free-flowing football. They managed to get in on a number of occasions. I mean, Watford do as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think Kev's point about Watford being shite at finishing is absolutely, you know, like, worth mentioning, because there were the amount of times I went to it's a good job you're shite every time they had an attack and didn't score, because they would have a better team would have scored against us. But and it's not something we want to talk about loads, but all the usual caveats. But it's also really difficult to get any kind of rhythm up when you've got a referee letting them get away with what he was letting them get away with in the match there, because it just means that they know they can do whatever they want in terms of time wasting, in terms of disrupting us, in terms of everything, and the referee will just keep his back to it so he doesn't have to worry about it. And that does start to play. So when you've got the wind going against you, you've got I think a couple of the players seem to have trouble with the sun in the first half as well. Milner, particularly down the left, he was struggling with it. So I think, you know, they're all mitigating factors, aren't they, that you've got to just say, yeah, we weren't great, but as seems to be the way with this Liverpool team this season, we did what we needed to do. It wasn't exciting, it wasn't spectacular, but we did what we needed to do and we walked away with 3 points, and that's what we want for Christmas.
So warm up, it's Neil Atkinson and Paul Senior in the away end, 85 on the clock. Paul Senior, this is one of the great Liverpool performances. It's the best I've ever seen. This is the best performance I've ever seen, and then 30 seconds later there's 10% around on making it forward. This is unbelievable. I always thought the Arsenal game at home was a 5-0, was it?
A 5-1.
Under Rodgers would be the best performance I've ever seen a Liverpool team play in my life. But 85 minutes on the clock here, yeah, I've never seen anything like this.
Come all ye faithful. It's been a fucking pleasure to be in the King Power tonight to watch this football team. This is the football team of your dreams. Soak it in, take it in.
It's the pink after Liverpool have beaten Leicester, dismantled Leicester 4-0. Now, if it's gone as a hope, you've just heard the prologue, which was me and Paul on the ground for the last 5 minutes. I've now got Paul Senior, I've got Rob Gutman. And Rob Gutman, that is as dominant, as tremendous, as astonishing a Liverpool performance as you'll care to see. Liverpool tonight, for all the world, look the next champions of England. They look like the champions of the world.
I think it might be, up to now, almost like the defining league performance of this modern era. It was incredible. It reminded me of an 80s Liverpool performance. I know I hark back to these things where you take on a rival and you go there and you don't just blow for blow come out on top. But tonight was different. We dominate them, dismantle them, destroy them.
Best defensive record in the country, Leicester, Paul Senior. They had the best defensive record in the country. They haven't got that anymore because Liverpool have been in town.
I expected Liverpool to beat them tonight. I said that before the game, and I really did fancy us, but the manner of what they do it is what's so special. It might be the best I've ever seen from Liverpool in my lifetime. I've just been on the phone to my dad and told him to take his Dalglishes soon. That's all his pots and pans and whatever.
Take your Dalglishes, take your soonest, put them in your pots, put them in your pans.
Don't put them in the bin, but admit that this Liverpool team is as good as it's ever been.
We can now move on from them.
What I've seen from these tonight is nothing short of remarkable. You know, Liverpool fans have been guilty for years of getting carried away too much, but if Liverpool keep playing that way, you can't see past them for the title, really. It's beyond a joke. Do you know what? The job isn't done yet. It's not done, but fuck me, this is the best opportunity we're ever going to have to do it, whilst being reigning European champions, world champions. The crown and glory on fucking 12 months of brilliance has to come now. We're too good for it not to.
We are too good for it not to, Rob. You overstate this sort of stuff on cinema. You do what we do. You talk about every game a certain way. I've had this circled in red pen since June, since the fixtures came out, really, and that I felt it would mean something. And then if you got closer and closer to it, and now all the way up in the car, I was saying, they win today, it's 1 foot. It's 1 foot towards becoming league champions, yeah. Because there's only so many games you can be reasonably expected to drop points in, and Leicester away is one of them. I didn't fancy them to do that.
I think, in a way, we didn't quite want to say it to each other, but we did fancy them to do that. And I think when they came off that pitch, the World Club thing, you know, might divide opinion as to its relevance in the wider scheme of things, but it was testing. It was a reminder of where they'd been in Madrid, about how high the mountain they'd climbed. A reminder, they're not just a team methodically chalking off 3 points. They're the team that are the highest level in their league. And I think what your point about does it put one hand on the trophy, or whatever metaphor you want to choose? The thing is, if you're Manchester City tonight, and they're an incredible team, they've just gone and they beat Leicester themselves well in the previous game, they beat Arsenal.
They're a good set of lads who've shown the bollocks.
But they would have said to themselves, if we've got a chance, Leicester are our first sort of notch on that mountain we've got to climb, that first base camp. They had to get something off Liverpool tonight. But not only did they not get anything off Liverpool tonight, Liverpool humiliated them in their own backyard. And for Man City, that's going to be difficult to get. Look, by the time this goes up, some people listen to it and they've gone and smashed Wolves. But I tell you what, it's going to be harder to get up for that tomorrow.
You are currently supporting the best football team in the world and possibly the best incarnation of any Liverpool side that there has ever been. Liverpool are champions of Europe. Liverpool are champions of the earth. There is one more thing to do, and that's to be champions of England, and they've taken a massive, massive, massive step forward tonight, and we can't apologise about that. This is serious business. Liverpool have got one thing in mind. It is becoming the champions of England.
It is the pink. It is your post-match show after Liverpool have beaten Sheffield United 2-0 at home. A run-of-the-mill victory in a lot of senses, but Liverpool have broken records tonight in terms of how much they passed the ball across the pitch. But before we get into that, Steve Graves, there's something else Liverpool have done tonight. They are unbeaten in the Premier League for one calendar year off the back of this result. What a football team they are. What a football team they've been. This is as good as it gets as a Liverpool supporter. 12 months since anybody beat them in the Football League. And before that, it was 7 months. They are tremendous.
And they won the Champions League in the meantime. It's not, you know, it's
they
not
won
even
the Champions League.
And the world champions. It's not like they've just gone for the numbers. They're absolutely unbelievable. What a year it's been of. I mean, you'd say highs and lows. There's not been many lows at
no.
all. You know, you
we
used to go in
3-0 at Barcelona.
Roller coaster year. Yeah, it's a really bad roller coaster because it's just been
highs and highs and highs.
It's just been highs and highs and highs to the point that it's a little bit. Yeah, fine today. You're not getting those massive highs because. You know, the highs are going to come away at Spurs or home to United or with Everton to come. And, you know, there are big moments and big games to come for this team. But what they're doing is carving out routine wins and looking like they can. You could nail on 11 or 12 of those now. There'll be stuff along the way, I'm sure. Well, maybe we'll get the odd low now and again. But it's just been phenomenal. And to see not just 11 individuals, 14, 15, 16... players who've come in, players who you'd forgotten about for a while, who've come back in and got right back to the pace of it. You know, Milner tonight's coming, cold. Tremendous. Totally unexpected. What a performance when you are, yeah, just coming in cold, totally unexpected. The whole midfield reshuffles, but this team, their collective knowledge, their know-how, it's unbelievable. We've talked about players who've been in sides that we've had who've rarely played in wins, and good players, and in quite good Liverpool teams, who've gone for a while without getting a chance to play in a win. They don't remember what it feels like to lose anymore.
Phil, we're watching an era-defining football team. There's two football teams that are defined for me the last 10 years of English football. One is Manchester City, and one is this Liverpool side that have ventured to take Manchester City on toe for toe. Before then, you've got to go back to Ferguson's Manchester United, to Mourinho's Chelsea the first time around, to Wenger's Arsenal that takes the season unbeaten. That's the level we're talking about here. This is a football team that redefines the game in this country. That's what we're dealing with.
This team could do a number of special things. Like, you talk about the United treble winning side, you talk about the City team that got 100 points, you talk about the Arsenal team that got went the whole season undefeated. This team could legitimately do all three of those in the same season. It's not fanciful. We need 42 points from 18 games to get 100 points. That's a lower level than this Liverpool team has played at for over 2 years.
Yeah.
That's the 100 point thing. We need to go 18 games undefeated to go the rest to get the 38. We've lost one game in 17 months, 19 months even. We won the European Cup last year. We can win that again.
Whilst there's getting 97 points in the league.
Yeah, exactly. This team could do special, special, special things. And I really hope that we win on Sunday. Not just because it's Everton, but because it's all well good and saying, you know, just win the league and focus should all be on the league. We're almost past the point where the focus should even be on the league to a point. Because us to win the league now requires 39 points. It's January the 2nd and we need 39 points for the league to be unassailable. Not for it to be like, oh, if we get this many points, we might win it and a team needs to drop points. We probably only need 30 points to win the league, yeah. We probably need 10 wins and we'll win the league. And that's ridiculous. Like, the things that this team could do are genuinely unparalleled.
Liverpool team has got a year unbeaten. A Liverpool team could not have done any more. A Liverpool team in that period also won the European Cup. Along the way, you might have seen they got themselves through against Bayern Munich, against Porto, against Barcelona, and then beat Tottenham in Madrid. That Liverpool team also got through the group stage of the Champions League this year. It does not get better of 12 months of support on Liverpool Football Club than this. But by Christ, Liverpool, it starts again 0-0 against Everton. It starts again 0-0 against Tottenham. It starts again 0-0 against Manchester United. There's a league to win here, you know.
We're back with the overview show. What are we going to do today is we'll look at the immediate games up to including Feb 1st. Liverpool have got six in that time. They're going to be away at Spurs this weekend, home to Man U, away to Wolves in midweek, an FA Cup game against who we don't know at this stage of the process, West Ham away and Southampton at home. So we're going to look at how we think Liverpool will get on, where the situation will be at the end of that. But I also can't help myself but project towards where this is going, where the shit ends up, Ben. Easter looms, we got kids, we can only get away at a certain time, we need the break, we need this, a little bit of sunshine, hints of sunshine, but the Reds have got a league to win. When do we think? Have you done the maths yet on this?
No, I'm currently jammed on the amount of points we need to cast iron guarantee. Never mind taking into account what City or Leicester are going to do. I think it's 39. We need 39 points. If we win 13 more football matches, we win the league. That's my mindset. So I'm counting off. When we've won one, I'm like, right, that's 12.
Yeah, I've got it to
like,
10.
That's 11.
Because we can draw some. We'll 10.
Fuck draws. Draws are none of our business these days.
Not our business.
It's all about winning. So I'm of the mindset, right, let's get the next three. And then I'll do it. How many do we need? We need 12 wins. Right, 12 wins are fuck all. Let's get the next 3 points. Bang, we need...
Well, the thing that sort of dissuades you in our paranoid supporter minds is we've already won 11, so we're not winning 23 on the bounce and breaking every. I think the record is the one that City set 2 years ago, which is 18 straight wins they get. If we beat Tottenham at the weekend, that's no small ask. We would beat the record for the best start ever to a league season at the top flight out in this country. But you're right, and this is why this show is the particularly interesting overview one, I think. I'll come to you on this one, Dave. Because the way the fixtures fall, Liverpool's hardest out of the 10, 12, 13 they need to win this title come in the next three.
Particularly Tottenham's one I sort of was looking
head to, in particular because of the Mourinho thing, and he's so hateful around Liverpool, isn't he? And you just think he would have his players so wound up because he just wants to be the one who beats them first, or may even end the season as the only team to beat Liverpool. He'll have them so up for it. Just seems less difficult than it might have been. You're backing them to win that one.
Again, man, you're not in great form either.
Yeah, again, Liverpool at home against Manchester United these days is not one you massively worry about. Maybe on paper as tough as it might look, and then like you say, if they win those three, then they're into a run where they should be winning every week from then on, and then you're looking at points, tallies and records. And but I think it's getting the other side of that little chunk of fixtures coming up. Well, that's when you'll know when the records, if the records are going to be set.
This Liverpool team is so focused on every game. See what happens with Tottenham on Saturday. Hopefully we find a way to win, which we're brilliant at doing. And then we'll see what happens against United.
Yeah.
And we'll probably beat them because they're shite. And then let's see what happens at Wolves. Let's remember what happened last year when we went there and just dominated the game.
Adam, should we just have a look at City's games? They've got a game more than us because they're in the semi-final of the League Cup. So they start, as we're recording this, they're away to Man United tomorrow night. They then are away to Villa, home to Palace. When we're away at Wolves, I think they're away at Sheffield United that midweek. They've then got an FA Cup tie against Crawley Town, no doubt, at home. I'm sure it will be at home. They've then got the second leg against Man U, and they're at home, and they finished the month with Spurs away. League-wise, they start with Villa and Palace, which feel like gimmies for them, but then they finish in the league with Chef U and Spurs are both away, plus they've got these cup ties threaded through them. How do you think this affects them? What do you think kind of a month they're going to have?
I really just don't know, because I looked at the list when you sent through the agenda and I thought, how do they always have, like, whenever there's like a list of 10 games, there's like one that you're a bit like, oh, they might do something there. You know, that's it. They always seem to have a really lovely run of games whenever they need to. And the mad thing is, it's not really been the tough games where they drop points. That, you know, it's the games where you sort of think, oh, they're going to go into it thinking we're going to win this dead easy. They're the ones that they drop the game. You know, Wolves is the perfect. Wolves at home, wasn't it?
Why I'm looking at Chef U away.
Well, Chef United away is the one probably where you look at it and think, yeah, maybe that's a bit of a tough game, especially given what it's in and around in terms of the cup ties and all that sort of thing. But I think it takes maybe one more session of dropped points, whether that be a draw for City and a win for us, or a loss for City and a win for us. I think it takes one more of them before Guardiola basically just goes, let's try and do the domestic cups and the Champions League. Let's focus on that.
Winning of the league. We're going to do some fate tempting here.
Fuck off with your fate.
Yeah. Do you want me to not go there? Do you want me to not go there?
I mean, you can do what you want. I'm fucking saying nothing.
Oh. Well, that's useful. Okay. Yeah, I'm the only one, I think, around. Yeah, I am the only one around this table who was sentient enough when we last won it, in even a few times before, a number of times before that, to know what it feels like. And I'm sort of watching you.
Tell us, Rob, what's it like?
I'm watching you thinking that there's going to be some big mad moment where you're going to have the greatest day of your lives. And actually, the only way that's going to happen is if this unravels and then we pull it back. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, the winning of the league. If we're going to win the league and win it really nicely the way we wanted to win it, we've won it. And you know, the winning of the league, the best it's ever going to feel is the night it did at Leicester. I'm just going to tell you all that. The rest of it will just be anticlimactic.
I don't give a fuck.
No, I know you don't.
They're thinking about what if, when if. There comes a point in this season whereby you're almost on standby. I've already tried to explain this to my wife. I'm like, look, there comes a point whereby at the drop of a hat, I've got to go. Because
yeah. 3 months.
Because Leicester might be getting beat 1-0 by fucking whoever away on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
By the way, oh, what? You're having your fuck on out the door and whatever you've got on to time, or they've equalised chance, come back. Do you know what I mean? What, there comes a point where you've got to go and watch however many football games a week because you want to be with your mates when it happens or whatever. It's almost impossible to imagine what you will do, because it could come on a Monday night and you're walking in Sainsbury's.
You drop everything and you don't know why or when it's going to happen.
It's the pink Neil Atkinson, Lizzie Doyle, Paul Cope, Liverpool beating Tottenham by 1-0.
one goal to nil, Paul, it's a crazy game in that if it finishes, you know, if it finishes 2-0, 3-0 Liverpool, you're not surprised. If it finishes 2-1, arguably, possibly Tottenham, you wouldn't be that surprised. Tottenham probably should score towards the very end of the game. The Lamella chance is huge, but Liverpool should be out of sight by then. It's a really good game of football.
Yeah, it's a great game of football. And it's funny, isn't it? Your summary there, that's football. That's literally what football is all about. Like, you get chances. Do you take them? Yes or no? Who takes the most chances? That's literally how the game works out. And for everything that happened, for all the, as you're watching it emotionally, they had one big chance. There's loads of, I think, from the edge of our box, lads going, you can shoot from there. It's all right. Shoot from there. You'll save it. So there's only that big chance that they have that makes Joe Marino sink to his knees. But aside from that, as you're saying, we could already be 3-0 up by that point. Again, like, you're playing Spurs away. I think it's important that we keep bringing ourselves back to what we're seeing is unreal. It's unreal. And at the end of the day, it's the greatest start to a football season of all time. So what more do you want?
What more do you want, Lizzie? They look after themselves, they look after each other a little bit. There's for instance, a really good late tackle get from Van Dijk in the penalty area. Yes, they get the late chance. At times, Liverpool are a little bit last ditch, maybe the most last ditch we've seen them so far, certainly since Fabinho's been out, but we find ourselves, they've won the game and they deserve to.
They'll always find a way, that's the thing, and this game was never going to be easy. It was just going to be tougher than the rest, I'd say. And you can't expect to go to Tottenham's ground and not expect them to have at least a spell with the players they've got. They're going to have it. And it's just how you contain it. I mean, we were quite lucky, to be honest, that they didn't really have much of the ball in the first half, because when the stats come through after the first half, it was amazing. 79% possession by Liverpool. Unbelievable. So it wouldn't have done us any harm to have that, by the way, the last 15 minutes to concentrate, to be switched on, to know that if that happens against Man United next week, they've got nothing to fear.
What separates this, in the 30 years in my sort of adult life supporting Liverpool, I've not seen a league win. What separates this side, this era, from all of the others is we are all on the same page, which is when the rest of the country is desperate for us to get carried away with it. And someone asked, I can't remember what game it was after, it was, and Henderson was on the pitch and asked immediately after the game, when the blood's pumping and the adrenaline's up, and got asked, like, Joe, about the Invincibles record and all that, and he laughed. And he just, like, so dismissive of it, and he just went, I couldn't care less. Like, I could not care less. My focus is on the next game. Klopp got asked about it, you said on the team talk show, Klopp got asked about it in a press conference, first question, his reaction is, oh my God, like, Jesus, stop asking me. Like, this is ridiculous. I couldn't care less. And I think that's where we all are now. Like, no one's shifting attention to records, Invincibles, no one cares. Everyone's just like, just win the next game. Just win the next game. Do we need to win it 1-0? Fine, do it. We're 16 points clear. Is that right?
Game in hand as well, mate.
With a game in hand.
On Leicester.
We're 16 points clear with a game in hand. What date is it? The 11th of January? 12th of January?
11th of January.
It's absolutely insane. And we're the only ones going, not done yet, lads.
We're 16 points clear to Leicester with a game in hand. 17 points clear to Manchester City, same number of games played.
I mean,
it's not done now.
But it's not done. And we're all going, it's not done. Why? We've got another game next week. What do you do then? Well, we're just going to win that game. What about the Invincibles? Couldn't care less. What about the record? Couldn't care less.
Liverpool team, Manchester United nil. Liverpool go 16 points clear at the top of the Premier League. Everyone in the world that I know seems to have come to the Glenbrook Hotel to enjoy this. Kevin Walsh, they've sang it on the comments. Of 2 minutes to go, it's took 60 points clear, but they sang the song.
I've just fucking sang it on the first take of the pick, and no one had let it go out on here. I've been singing it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I sang it all throughout the first half, and no one had fucking joined in. And when Mo Salah banged that one in, everyone joined in, and everyone listening better start joining in, and the rest of the fucking world better join in, because it's happening this year, it's probably going to happen next year, and I wouldn't bet against number 7 either, because we are fucking mustard.
Neil Docking, I mean, we've been cautious, we've been no one saying it, but they had to give it up.
Just a win.
60 points clear, 30 points clear of them. Sorry, pretending to be Manchester United.
Oh, tell me about it. Manchester United, the real Manchester United, ruined my childhood. They spoiled my life.
And mine.
Cantona in 96, the treble in 99, goal after goal, last minute winners, all them trophies, all that champagne football. When was it going to end? Then when I became an adult, the chainer in 2009, the misery after misery after misery. And I thought, when is it going to stop? When is it going to end? Well, today it ended. Today it ends.
20 fucking
today 20. Today it ends. Because we are Liverpool Football Club, the best team in the world, the champions of the world, and they, Manchester United, are a joke. They came here like fucking Everton. Pathetic. Desperate for a draw.
Yes.
And what did they
fuck
leave
Everton
with? What did they leave with? Nothing. And the Reds go marching on. Champions of the world, champions of Europe, and soon to be champions of England. Everybody, bow down.
Andy Gargett, the general, follow that.
Fucking follow
what? How can I follow that?
I can't follow
other
it.
Other than I've flown half the way over the world to see this, in all my days, I've never thought I'm going to sit there and stand on the cop and listen to us sing, we're going to win the league, and know in every inch of your bone that it is fact and truth, and to do it against United is the best gift of all.
And you've seen De Gea today, haven't you? Who's like one of the best shot stoppers in the world. But our goalkeeper offers so much more. He offers so much more to the football team.
Apparently.
And the best celebration ever as well.
Yes.
Yes. And him in his black kit, like, it is a thing. It is the best.
It's beautiful,
kit.
That kit, isn't it? Beautiful. Absolutely kit. Beautiful.
You just keep winning games, and that's what's impressive. You know, you talk about different ways to win. And it's impressive, you know, different ways to win, or winning ugly, you know, winning well. But shout out for the just of relentlessness of just winning every week, you know what I mean? And it's getting to the point where we've just not seen anything like this, not just in Liverpool's history, but in anyone's
it's
history.
It's taken the piss. Like, the Liverpool I grew up with, when something went wrong, they'd fall off the hill. Like, everything would fall apart. A couple of negative things, and they'd pack in the bag. This side is just a machine. And it's like every setback we had, whether it be Kiev, whether it be not winning the league last year, it's made them more determined and more incessant on winning. And Pep's created this by having to win 90... Not, you can't win the league with 97 points. We said, fuck it, we'll win them all then.
Happy fucking Bertie, Pep. This is all your fault, dickhead. And like two games in a row now, we've seen Liverpool push so hard for that second goal. So dominant. When that second goal hasn't come, a lot of teams would drop off, wouldn't they, and their heads would drop. But our boys just think, right then, we're in for a fight. If we've got to battle down, then that's what we'll do.
I bet it'll be tasty like that. Like, oh, you cheeky bastards. Do you, is this how it's going to be, is it? Well, fucking watch this. Jordan Henderson licking his lips in the midfield. Like, no one makes me bleed my own blood, lad. I'll fucking tell you.
But the desire of them, when the game's not going our way, they just all muck in and swarm the ball. And like, fuck you, we're going to win this back.
We all say about how much Sadio Mane wants to win this league. Fucking Mo Salah wants it just
they
as much
wanna
as Sadio.
They all
exactly
want
right.
to win it.
Precisely, they all want to win it. And that desire and that heart probably means that it won't be this one and the next one and the next one. 4, 5 and 6. I'm not even taking a piss. I'm looking at fucking world domination.
I've had to grab Dan Austin because, Dan, you've been calling the whole of Twitter shithouses for about
fridges. Shithouses and fridges.
For about 3 weeks now, we're not proclaiming loud enough that Liverpool are going to win the league. And this is just a procession.
Mike, fuck
so it
man.
Must have brought you great joy to hear. Now you're going to believe us, we're going to win the league. George,
it was brilliant. I'm not, like, we didn't have to have a meeting about it. The second one went in and everyone went, go on then. It was the best moment of the season, wasn't it? Everyone just went, I'm finally going to act like someone who's had a neck in my life. We're all going to get the moments eventually when it's mathematically done, and then we're going to get the moment where they give us the trophy. But we're winning the league like 2 or 3 times a week at this stage. We won it yesterday when City dropped points. We've won it again today. We're probably going to win it on Thursday. We might even win it in that bonus week, the week after, where we're playing West Ham and no one else is. So just treat everyone like we're winning the league, because if you just have the one night out, it's nowhere near as fun as having
fuck that, mate.
38 nights out.
Happy plus
all the weeks where City are shit. Because you can have like 50 nights out that way where we win the league.
That Austin is correct. Listen, this is like a 5,000 metre race. They've just rang the bell. You're so far ahead, you can't even see their bumps behind you. You've got a choice in life. You can get your head down, you can focus on the finish line, or you can look up, you can look around you, you can take in the adulation, you can soak it all up, you can listen to the crowd as they sing your name around you. That's what you can do. That's what Liverpool should do. Ladies and gentlemen, these boys are going to be the champions of England. Up the fucking Reds.
Yeah! Sports Social Podcast Network.